Now, I'm delighted to be talking to Sean Casey, Ireland's and Kerry's latest Olympian. He qualified recently in Munich with the Irish Heavyweight Fours for the Beijing Olympics, an enormous achievement, and he follows in the footsteps of some great Olympians. Sean, congratulations, a great achievement.
Thanks a lot, Weishi. You know, it is a good achievement, but straight away, once it's finished, you know, you need to start looking towards next year now and how we're going to get into that A final next year at the Olympic Games. That is the main goal. That's the only place you can be competitive. It's the only place you can have a chance of getting into medals. So that's where we have to be from now on.
But still, Sean, at the moment, just for this short period of time in your life, you must savour it and you must be. What has it been like since you qualified and become an Olympian?
Oh, you know, it's great. Like, I mean, you know, there's people walking up to you in the street that you've never met in your life, but you know, they've seen something in a paper, or you met him on a night out, and they just come up and they congratulate you, say well done. You know, I mean, that means a lot, just because, you know, it's such a minority sport that you never get this with rowing. So, you know, it is good, and it makes you feel good, because it just gives you that extra bit of attention, you know, when it's such a minority sport and you never see it otherwise.
Bring us back, Sean, to Munich and the qualifying. How difficult was it, and bring us through the emotions of the whole thing?
Well, you know, it was very disappointing that we didn't get through from the semi-final, because that was our goal all year, was to have it done by the semi-final. So then once you get into the A-final from the semis, then you're done and dusted. You know, you have qualified, and then you can compete for medals. But unfortunately, we didn't get through there, so we ended up being the B final, where there was 5 places to go to an Olympics and there was 6 crews involved. So basically it's cutthroat then. You know, anybody will do, everybody is going to go out there and fight harder than they've ever fought before to get into those positions. And thankfully, you know, we came through it. We qualified in 10th position, which, you know, we would have been looking to be a little bit higher, but in that environment, you know, when there is that bit of nervousness, We still believed that we had the confidence and knew we had the ability to qualify. So we just had to go out and prove it, and thankfully we did.
The race itself then, Sean, it would be terrible to finish 6th and have the other 5 qualify. How hard was that race, and how drained were you after it and the 3 lads with you?
Well, you know, we were all drained after it, but very quickly the elation of just realising we are now qualified for the Olympics, that we now have a straight run at it next year. You know, that quickly kicked in, as tired and all as we were. Everybody had their heads down for a few moments. You know, we'd come forth in the race. We were hoping to do that bit better. But the thought of you just qualified the heavyweight men's 4 for the Olympics in Beijing 2008, And that wasn't long getting the heads back up again.
And Sean, there's not many heavyweight oarsmen in Ireland.
No. There's only a few extra besides ourselves. You know, they'll be knocking on the boat now for places next year. Nobody in the boat is going to be too willing to give away their seat. Now they've put their stamp on it. So it's up to some other fella now, and he's going to have to be better than them to get him out of the seat. But, you know, that bit of a squeeze, that pressure on from others, that'll help us all to raise our game another bit, and we're going to have to if we want to be in the A final next year.
I'm coming to the. I get the impression, Sean, that you still haven't grasped it, that you have qualified for the Olympic Games in Beijing. Even the short time now I'm talking to you, I can see that you were never happier in your life.
I'm very happy. Yeah, I like, you know, it is a great thing. You know, I mean, I've been training and rowing now for 15 years, and there's always been a goal, you know. I mean, even in the lead up to 2000, you'd be hoping that something would have happened in this country. Somebody would have started coaching heavyweights in this country. But nothing has happened in 2004. You know, I tried to go there in the single, qualify the single. And unfortunately, you know, I was unsuccessful in doing that. But this year now, you know, it is a great, great feeling to have qualified a boat for an Olympics. But I still don't see myself as being an Olympian until I've gotten there. You know, you have to go to the games. As I said, there's going to be other people knocking on those seats. There's going to be, you know, you have to keep yourself injury free. You have to be able to have a good year's training now. But, you know, it is great. Like, the thing about it, the way I look at it is, it's done, dusted, thankfully out of the way. You know, we get our 2 weeks off now. But
the next step,
like, it's always, you know, that this is the final step, you know, there's no more after, it all goes back down to zero again for the 4 years after that, the next Olympiad, that's something totally different. But this block of time, this Olympiad finishes next year, so you have to look forward, you have to look, there's no point in looking back. We enjoyed what we did, it was great, but now you have to look forward to the next step.
What height and what weight are you, Sean?
About 6'4", about 95, 96 kg, which would be just over 15 stone.
So you're some man built with muscle. Of course, as you said there, you've been around 15 years. Sean Casey hasn't been an overnight success. This is a fairy tale story of a young man who left Killarney, went to America. And tell us, Sean, about growing up and going to America, and tell us where your own career came from. Because your mum and dad were great horse people.
Oh yeah, both my parents rode. My brother and sisters have both rode. You know, I'd started in the Killarney boats here at home, Muckers Rowing Club. When I was 14, 15, I went down there first. You know, I'd started off being a weekend sport. During the summers, you'd go down, you'd enjoy the summer, you'd go off out in the sixes, you'd go back and race Killarney Regatta. I suppose it started to get serious around the summer there that we were 17. You know, we all put in a good effort and, you know, went back there and won a couple of races, and, you know, it was tough going, but we all enjoyed it, you know, early mornings, late evenings, back down below training, between putting a bit of work in between. And then the year after, we went on to win the junior 18-8s, both four fellas from Fossa and ourselves, the four from Muckers, we joined together to win the Irish Championships in the junior 8s. And that was a great building block, because from there I went on to row at the European Championships, the Coupe de la Jeunesse, where we came back with three gold medals, which hadn't happened before that. So all this helped me along the way. You know, it kept the interest up. There was success at the end of it. Went off to America then, got a sports scholarship, got a rowing scholarship to America. And I spent 4 years over there in college and two and a half more years there working, but also rowing at a club above in Connecticut. Went to college in Temple University in Philadelphia, where, you know, it was great. It was tough going. They didn't invite you over if you weren't going to be working hard. I got to row there with some very good athletes, some top athletes. Two of them, one of them has gotten a bronze medal at the Olympics. Another fella has gotten a gold medal at the Olympics, you know, so there was great athletes there that I was rowing with. And I always looked at these guys and thought, you know, they weren't any better than they weren't doing any more than I was doing. They weren't any better than me. So why was it that, you know, nothing was happening in Ireland? Because, you know, even though this is the first four to qualify for an Olympics in however many years since the qualification has come in, you know, there has definitely been athletes in Ireland that could have gone on to do something, but there was just no structure there to develop them. So thankfully that is in place now. You know, Harold Yarling, he's set up a great system, developed us through the last 3 years. And this is the culmination of the last three, and the work we put in now will hopefully get us into the Olympic final.
But you had a very successful time in America, Sean. Tell us about your achievements when you were there, because basically they might have gone a little bit unnoticed. Remind us of how you did in America.
Oh yeah, you know, we'd successful time in college, you know. We finished fifth at the national championships, that's between all the universities there 1 year. And then when I went on to sculling later on in the last 2.5 years, I ended up coming second and third in the single, in the elite single in the US championships, behind a man that took silver at the Olympics at the end of it. And just a few months before that, and then went on to also win the double over there in the elite double, which was beating the US double that qualified the boat for the US. So, you know, I mean, there was, and Canadian Hindley as well, I won up there. But, you know, it was all, these were all real good solid building blocks up to what I have achieved. I mean, the way I look at it is, if I didn't go to America, then I probably would not still be rowing, because most of the people that I rode with as junior and coming up along the way, they've all, you know, gone on, started to go through life, you know, find jobs. And I mean, you can understand that, because if there's nothing else happening for them, and that is the way it was in this country up until the last 3 years, then, you know, you have to move on, you have to find something else. But thankfully I stuck with it, and, you know, now we've given ourselves the opportunity to get to Athens. We've booked the boat, No, it only depends on who's going to be sitting in the four seats. Yeah.
Beijing, actually.
Oh, sorry, Beijing, yeah, Beijing.
Yeah, just in case any of our listeners think that we're... what was your college in America, Sean?
Temple University in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, yeah. How difficult was it? Were you lonely out there, or had you any longings to come back? And I mean, it was a long sojourn to be on your own. And what was it like in that respect?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, there would be times that you'd get that bit homesick, but I mean, home is always home, you know. And no matter where you ever are, home will always seem, the grass is always greener. You know, when you go away from it, you always want to be back there. But sometimes then, when you're around home, you always want to get out of there. I mean, when you see the weather outside the window some days recently, you just want to be gone. But, you know, I was lucky. There was a man over there from Carlow beforehand. So I was very lucky that, you know, I had somebody else around from Ireland. There was some other European fellas on the team. So, you know, we all got along well, all made the best of it, you know, because you're all over there. So you all kind of have the same things happening, you know. If you find college a bit tough, you can always go off and get some help from somebody, you know. It is good.
I'm talking to Sean Casey, Kerry's and Ireland's latest Olympian. We'll go for a short break. Now, you're very welcome back. I'm talking to Sean Casey, Kerry's latest Olympic oarsman. Sean, being in America and being there all that time, and even though you were winning and you're 15 years at it now, how did you keep going mentally? Like, because rowing is one of the toughest sports in the world. How did you stick it all the time? I often wondered.
Well, you know, rowing is tough, you know, it's, but I suppose I am a goal-oriented person, you know. There was always a goal out there, you know, there was always the next race coming up. You know, it was tough to be away from home, but the way I saw it was, if there was anything going to happen, you know, this was the only way it was going to happen, because there was nothing happening in the heavyweight rowing in Ireland at the time. So the push had to be made, and, you know, to compete with the best of my... I mean, I thought it was the best experience ever, because I was out there competing with and against athletes that have become Olympians and people that were winning world championships at the time. And you're looking around at these guys and you're beating them and you're competing against them and you're being, you know, it's tough competition. And you're going, where's the difference? And you know, there's people that are surely roughly as good as you or as good as you at home, and nothing at all is happening. So I just put the head down, worked hard. And then, you know, I was lucky after college to get an opportunity to go up and work with an Irish coach that's working over there. James Mangan from Limerick, you know, he coached me in the single, and I had never sculled in my life, so the man had to put up with a lot of, you know, a few falling in here and there into the water. But, you know, eventually he got me up to the standard where I could compete against people like, you know, Yuri Anson and these scholars, and winning the US national championships and going on to compete for a place at the Olympics, at the Olympic qualifier, you know. So you always put a goal in front of you and you strive towards that goal. You can't be paying attention to, would say, if there isn't anything happening, or, you know, you have to put the head down and work for it yourself. There's no point in blaming other people, nothing like that. You just have to go for it yourself.
Were you ever tempted, or did the occasion ever arise when you could have rowed for America?
Well, you'd have to be a citizen to row for America. So, you know, that never really arose, but, you know, you'd always want to represent your own country. Like, you know, I mean, thankfully things have started to happen here now. So, you know, it is great. You'd always prefer to row for your own country, yeah. You know, not even prefer, but it's just something, it's pride, like, you know. It's.
Have you been, Sean, a full-time oarsman for the last 15 years?
Best part of it anyway, you know, there's... In college, you're more or less a full-time oarsman. You'd go to, you know, a few classes during the day, but you'd train in the morning, train in the evening every day. After that, when I was working, work was all based around the rowing training that we had. Thankfully, you know, I was in a rowing club, so they understood the situation. And since the end of 2003, it's just been a full-time athlete training the whole time.
What's the programme now, Sean? You're home in Killarney now at the moment after qualifying, after becoming... by the way, I suppose, was your dream always to become an Olympian? Was that your dream since you were a young fella? And when did the Olympics first enter your mind?
Like, I remember being above training in the Skillin bit for the Coupe in 96, which is 11 years ago now, so it's a long time ago. But, you know, I can remember watching Redgrave and Pinsent in the pair that year. And, you know, it's up there on television, like you're looking at it, you're competing in rowing. So, you know, it doesn't seem that far away. So, you know, a few years later, like you're over there with these guys in America that are heading there. So you just, you know, you're closer to it, but there's still nothing happening. So you're trying to work towards a goal that's a bit elusive at the time. And then going towards 2004, well, when I got into the single at the end of 2001, you know, that was the goal, was to try and at least be competitive for a place if it was going to happen. And I was very happy that I got the opportunity, you know, to go to the qualifiers that year, and maybe with a bit more experience at international racing, you know, at World Cup racing, it could have been a different story. But unfortunately, you know, things didn't go as well as they could have in the final, in the qualifier. And so we came into this Olympiad then, and, you know, I met Harold Yarling, who was a very enthusiastic man to get something going in heavyweight rowing in Ireland. And, you know, he has been successful in doing it. You know, it's the only boat qualified now.
And I suppose you're great friends, of course, with Paul Griffin. And Paul became Kerry's first ever rowing Olympian. And he was at the last Olympics. He has still an opportunity to qualify with you. But I suppose the fact, and a great young man, I suppose the fact that he got there then, Sean, it said to you, well, if the likes of Paul and other people can get there, why can't I get there?
Well, yeah, like, but I mean, like, it's not like the likes of Paul, because he's a great athlete, you know.
Yes. That's what I mean, yeah.
He's put in a lot of hard work over the years, and he's gotten to go to the Olympics, you know, and compete there. And I've no doubt that once they get things right for next year, you know, the qualifier won't even be, it'll be a simple matter of having to attend it. But, you know, it still has to be done. And now we've got a straight run at it. Like, you know, it's a great, great opportunity to just get a straight program all the way up to the Olympics now.
So now, what's your program going to be from here on out now, Sean? Or do you know yet? When are the Olympics, by the way, in Beijing?
I believe everything starts with, or 8 is a lucky number over there. So it starts on the 8th of August, the 8th of the 8th, 08, at 8 o'clock, I believe. So
now, what's Sean Casey's program from here on out now?
Well, from here on out, we'll be getting back full-time training by the beginning of October. You know, we're just building into it now for the next 2 weeks. And after that, we'll be going away on camps. We're away for November. We'll be away part of December. We're heading off on the 26th of December for an altitude training camp at cross-country skiing. And then almost every month after that, we might get home for about a week during the month, but almost every month after that, we'll be gone.
How are you fixed now with the likes of diet and rest, Sean? What diet do you follow?
Well, I'd be lucky, because since we're heavyweight, you know, we don't have to cut down on food at any time. But so basically, you still have to get in an unbelievable amount of calories when you're training. You know, it's 5,000-6,000 calories, and to do that, I mean, you basically have to be sitting down eating for almost as long as you're training. So you just sit down, eat as much as you can. You're going up two or three courses. You start off with big breakfast in the morning.
That's nice.
It gets to be hard work at the same time, you know. I mean, as much as the lightweights would be looking at us, or some of the men would be looking at us jealously, you know, they can get up and leave the table. They have a big meal themselves. They'd have more than any normal person would eat. But then, you know, we have to keep sitting down there and keep eating, just because if you don't get the calories in, you'll start to lose weight. And with that, you know, you're making yourself more injury prone and more sickness prone. So, you know, it is a good way to be. But it is hard work sometimes too, trying to get in all those.
How have you been injury-wise, Sean?
Thankfully, injury-free. You know, and I've been very lucky at that. Every now and then you get a few niggles here and there, but nothing serious, you know, and it is a great way to be. So, you know, touch wood now that we'll stay that way for the next year anyway.
When you're at home now around Killarney, what training do you do? Do you do running? Do you do gym? Or what gym do you go to? And do you do sculling, or do you do rowing? What do you do?
Well, for the next 2 weeks, like, we'll just be getting back into it. So I'll be doing as much cycling and climbing. You know, I might go off around the ring on the bike, or go climbing Carntool, Mangerton, you know, all the mountains. Killarney is a great place to train. Always has been, you know, from when I was young, running up Fáilacrán, all these places, you know, they're all just, it's just a great place to be able to go out, because it's almost relaxing. You know, you don't see it as being hard on training. And So then, you know, beginning of October, we'll start to get back in the boat, start to get back into the gym. You know, Angus there has always been real good to us in the physique fitness studio. So he's helping us out there with the gym membership. And, you know, it's just, it's a great place to train as well, you know. So yeah, we just keep on moving up from there, then the intensity will grow all the way up.
Of course, getting back to Paul Griffin again, of course, he's been a great example to all the young people, and he's been a great oarsman. And of course, we also have another man, young Cathal Meinen, who rode with Ireland, rode in the lightweight fours with Paul there lately. So two more lads. So if you like, you have three from Muckross. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Three oarsmen from Muckross now, one after two Olympians, and Cathal Meinen trying to get there. Yep. This what do you put that down to, Sean? What do you put down to the fact that we have three people from the one small little rowing club becoming such great oars people?
Well, I suppose some people might say that there's something in the water around here, but you know, it all comes down, I suppose, to the rowing club and the development that we had from there, from kids all the way up. You know, it was great to see Cathal get involved in the system this year, you know, fighting for a seat as well. And we just have to keep pushing now, you know. He'll be fighting for a seat again next year, as will Paul, and trying to qualify that boat. But it is a great thing, because very few other counties can even say they have three people fighting, three people going for an Olympics, you know. And, you know, Dublin, all these places with massive population, Cork, you know, that none of them have three people from such a small town. And it shows the development in the club, and it just has to keep on happening. You know, they have to keep on working to get young people involved, and then to help them increase the level of their participation up to being able to compete nationally and internationally. That's where it all starts from.
Well said. I'm talking to Sean Casey, I'm dwarfed by his size, and I'm even getting tired talking to him when he's talking about this fierce, tough sport, the rowing. We'll go for a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Sean, was there ever an occasion over the last 15 years that you have been rowing that you got just sick of it, maybe, and decided that you'd pack it in, that you had enough of it?
Well, I suppose there's times where that come into your head, all right. And I suppose one of those times was after 2004, when I didn't manage to qualify. But you know, it's just almost part of you at this stage. You just can't let it go until you think that is everything that I could have given it. And as fast as you can possibly go, you know, that's what you're going for, you know. It's to have given it everything and just be able to walk away and say, that was as much as I could have done. But, you know, as I said, I'm goal-oriented. You keep on striving on for the next one. You can always find another goal, you know. So I've always stuck with the sport, because there has been low times, like, but the highs have been better than anything, you know. It's a great feeling, like we'd say, as I said, the last day, even crossing the line tent, and next thing the thought comes into your head, and the heads are long popping up, you know. It's a great feeling to know that you've just qualified the boat, and you know, all the work that has taken place was for that. And now we have to move on.
Now, when you say now we have to move on, and you've qualified for the Olympics, and you'll be getting your head around that as the weeks go on. Move on is the word. Realistically now, Sean, what are the prospects of Sean Casey bringing an Olympic medal back to Kerry?
Well, I mean, it's going to be very hard, you know, to be straight and honest. It's going to be very difficult. All those crews that we competed against, and a couple of more next year, you know, they're all going to be competing for the exact same thing. And our training will increase, everybody else's. It all depends on what we can manage to get out of ourselves next year, you know. We knew we had the confidence this year going in that the very minimum we should do is qualify. And that, you know, with a bit of luck, you know, with a few good races, then we could have gotten into the A final. And we were very close to it, you know, for a lot of the semi. But just at the very end, it wasn't as together as it could have been, and it fell apart a bit. But these things you look back at these things, you learn from them, and you have to go again. And hopefully next year, now we'll have learned from it, get into the A final, and that's where you can start competing for medals. 50% of the A final comes out with a medal, and this is, you know, the Olympics, and it is as good as it gets in any sport. It's the top of any athlete's.
When you came home last week, Sean, the Muckross Rowing Club gave Cathal and Paul and yourself a great welcome home at one of the local hotels. And you, I was present, and you spoke yourself, and you, in particular, you thanked your parents that only for them you wouldn't be where you were.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, they've always supported me. They've always helped me out, but in every way, from financially to give me a roof over my head the last few years when I'm around, you know, and it's always been great. You know, when I went out to America, they said, you know, whereas some parents would have been a bit apprehensive about it, and I'm sure they were, but they always just said, look, if that's what you want to do, then you go and do it. And, you know, it's always been like that, and they've always helped me along. You know, when they could have just said, look, it's about time now, you cop yourself on and go out and find a job and find your own roof over your own head. You know, they've been very solid with me the whole time. You know, they've just helped me along the way, always given me the support that I needed. It's, you know, always you can just go back and talk to them, and, you know, I'm sure I've been hard to live with at times, you know, because, you know, it's training and you're tired and you don't want to do things, and, you know, but they've always supported me as best they can. You know, it's been great to have that support from all the family, you know.
Of course, as you say, your mother, Breda, I worked with her in St. Finan's Hospital, and she was a great oarswoman herself. And of course, your father, then Pat Casey, was a great footballer, played with Kerry, won county championship medals with East Kerry, and was a star with Spa. And he was something the same as yourself, 6'2", 6'3", a great midfielder. What did it mean to you that your dad was such a great footballer, and what was your own football background with Spa?
Oh, you know, I can often remember going up and when I was young up to Spa Field on Sundays for watching games, and you know, it was a great thing, I suppose, even at that young age to see just sport and, you know, just being involved in it, and because I was involved, I suppose, at the time with Glenflesk, just playing like whatever it was, under 12, under 14 football, but shortly after that, then I joined up with Muckross, and you know. It's always been downhill since then. You know, since then I've been involved in the rowing, I suppose, yeah. You know.
So just to get matters right, your dad, you went living to Glenflesk, didn't you? Were you born in Glenflesk or in Spa?
Oh, no, we've always been living in Glenflesk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So with the parish thing, you have to go and play in Glenflesk. So, yeah. You know, and that was good, you know. It got me involved in sport at a young age. And I suppose almost every kid in the county, if not the country, you know, all start off their sporting careers with GAA in some form or another, you know, between a lot of the athletics and stuff are run, you know, the community games are all run, the local football field, all this, you know, and it's great to have those facilities. But then, you know, it just moved on from there onto the rowing.
Do you know, I believe myself, I'm just thinking to myself now that your father was a fanatical Spa man, played all his football with Spa, but I reckon myself that if he'd been living in Spa, he'd have kept you playing with Spa, but I'd say that he left you slip away from Glenflesk. Anyway, come here, that's beside the point. Talking about now that your parents looked after you financially and everything like that, I would imagine now, Sean, that anyone listening to this programme would, if you want to sponsor, you're going to need sponsorship, of course, and you're going to get sponsorship, but have you got anyone to sponsor you for anything yet?
Oh yeah, no, like, I mean, except for Angus down below in the gym, you know, there's very little sponsorship. You know, the Irish Sports Council, we're on a small grant from them. It's like 12 grand for the year, which is very hard to live on, and as I said, you know, most of the help has come from family. So, you know, as you said, like, if there are sponsors out there, you know, any help is greatly appreciated, but it is hard to survive, especially with the sport, with so much travelling and everything, that you have to keep on dishing out money and there's nothing coming in.
Well, I'd be very surprised if there's not somebody out there listening to this programme, don't want to row in behind, actually row in behind our new Olympian. Sean, turning again now to the upcoming Olympics in Beijing, and everything now is going to be concentrated in this. Is your whole life now, the rest of from here into Beijing, your whole life is really going to be sheltered, is going to be encapsulated. Everything you do now from here on out, every move you make is Beijing in the back of it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the goal. Everything leads towards that. The training programme we're going to get in the next couple of weeks, it's all going to be step by step. But I mean, everything, you still have to break things down. It's fine to look at that goal, but you still have to look at every stroke. Every training session, break that down, every stroke. Because That's what you do over and over. You do 240 of them coming down a race. The better you can make each one, the faster you will go. And it's up to the four people in the boat now. And, you know, it'll be a competitive environment for the next few months.
And who are the three, by the way, who are your three teammates?
There's Sean O'Neill there from Limerick, and Cormac Folan and Alan Martin, both from Galway. Yeah. So, you know, as I was saying, that's the goal. But each small step will only be made up of each stroke, each thing we do in the gym. You know, everything just has to be done right. It's hard to do everything right the whole time, you know, I'm being particular about it. But once you start to get the little things right, you know, that's what will make the difference now. That's what will help us to get there.
Would you be are you conscious of history? Are you conscious of the cases of Sneem? Would you have read about them? You would have probably heard about them, that in 1936 they had qualified for the Olympics and they were disbarred because they wrestled professionally. And Paddy told me before he died that they'd have probably won about four races, which would mean about 30 gold medals. Would you know about the cases, any little thing, Sean?
Oh, yeah, like, I mean,
by the way, the same name, let me say that at long last, a KC is going to run the Olympics.
Yeah, no relation, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've read a lot about him, actually, and I've also seen that there was a programme on TG Cahir, which yourself, Wishy. And, you know, so I know a bit about him, all right, and they had a very interesting life, you know, I mean, to go off to the States and, you know, become wrestling world champions and all, you know, it's a fair achievement. I mean, especially for one family and the four of them. Was it three brothers took on the US national champion in the time?
Steve Codman.
Yeah, in the time of wagers being put on on races. And he bet 10 grand that whoever beat him would get the 10 grand. Yeah. So when he got beaten by all three.
Yeah. And they were scholars like yourself.
Yeah. And I've seen, like, there was footage of him in that program. And I mean, no matter who you look at, they were moving a boat very well, you know. I mean, sometimes you see all rowing and it looks very different to the way they row now, but those guys were really moving the boats. Plus, Noel Casey at the moment, he's down below coaching in Muckers. He coached two crews to a national championship this year, their son. So he's been living down below in Sneem, and he came over to coach Muckers during the winter and coached them to two national championships this year.
Well, if none of the legendary seven Casey brothers, Lartimus in the seven, haven't reached the Olympics, we'll say that Sean Casey, or we'll say there's a far, far, far out relation there. Sean, you mentioned earlier on there about rowing being a minority sport. How do you feel about the minority sport of rowing in this county and the coverage it gets? And how does it feel to be in a minority sport with all the hype with football and soccer and basketball and rugby and everything?
Well, like, I mean, there's no other thing but to accept it, because, I mean, you pick up any newspaper this week, the week before the All-Ireland final, and everything is covered well with it. And understandably so, you know, I mean, it's a big thing. The county they're going for is their 34th.
Yeah.
You know, but so, like, I mean, it's always been a big thing in this county. But rowing does get good coverage. You know, you've often had both myself and Paul on the programme. You know, in the newspapers they pick it up a lot. So I'd say we get more than a lot of the other counties get, you know, which is great, because it gets on radio, gets on papers, you know. People do take notice when they see information about us. So we are some of the lucky people at the same time.
So you're in Killarney now for a few. You're relaxing now. Do you take any time off? Do you take a pint, or do you go doing a bit of discoing, or how do you relax, or what pastimes have you?
Oh yeah, you know, sit back now, relax. There's two weeks there now, totally off. So, you know, we meet up, go for a few pints. You know, I might go to the cinema. It's great to just be able to sit down. And he told us the coach told us not to do anything at all. So it's a strange feeling when you have to think of that. Because you're so wired up, and you're going towards a world championships, and next thing you're just told to take 2 weeks off, and you're twiddling your thumbs and you're wondering, when can I get going again?
Because there's something wrong here.
Yeah, you know, the body's so full of energy. But, you know, you just have to do it. You just have to sit back, go out for a few pints, relax, enjoy, you know, because soon enough you'll be wondering what happened to the 2 weeks. You'll be back in the thing.
I have no doubt, Sean, but that your family and your friends and all celebrated the fact that you became an Olympian. Was there an occasion since you became? Did the family kind of honour you with an occasion?
Oh yeah, aunts and uncles came over last Sunday for a bit of a barbecue. You know, a lot of friends have come up to me. A lot of friends sent me texts and I was still out there, you know, saying just well done. You know, it's been a long time coming. So, you know, congratulations.
Yeah.
And it's great to get that support.
And of course, you've been from the Muckross Run Club. My late niece, Karen, of course, Karen Fogarty, you'd have probably rode around her or maybe with her or something like that. Karen was killed. She was an international oarswoman herself.
Yeah. My sister would have rode with Karen, but, you know, she was down there when I was a junior, which, you know, it's unfortunate to see that happen, especially you're only young, like you don't get a full understanding for it. But, you know, it was good to have people like her, and she actually was doing some coaching in the club as well at the time, so a lot of the younger people would have known her as well.
Yeah, nice to remember these people, especially my beautiful niece. Finally, Sean, of course, your aunt would be Joan Sullivan, and Joan Sullivan was married to Gerald Sullivan, and Gerald Sullivan and his brother Teddy played in the Polo Grounds in New York. They were great footballers and they were members of my own club, Killarney Legion. So even though you're not directly blood related to them, but in the family there's a great relation. Do you remember Gerald and Teddy?
I do, yeah. You know, from when I was very young.
Yeah.
I can, you know, remember it as I've seen some great photographs of it. One of them was when he was head and shoulder. He was clearing up for a ball. You see his ankles around some guy's head.
Yeah.
He's after clearing the other fella to get the ball from picking the ball out of the air.
Yeah.
You know, so I've heard stories about him, you know, and seen a bit, read a bit as well, because he gets a mention in Mihála Mar Hirtig's book. So, you know, it is good to always have that sporting, you know, relation. You just get to get a better idea of it, you know.
Well, Sean Casey, I want to thank you sincerely for talking to me. Yourself and Paul Griffin and Cathal Meinhan, our three oarsmen, you have done us tremendously proud. But you in particular, after you're devoting your life to rowing, to see you becoming an Olympian, it's something special. Irrespective of what happens from here on out now, the fact is Sean Casey was an Olympic oarsman. I hope everything goes well between here and Beijing, and that injury stays far away from you. And I have no doubt you're going to increase you're going to be better and better than ever. And we'll all be looking forward to seeing you in Beijing. As the fella said, win, lose or draw, you have written your name into the glorious sporting history of Kerry. Sean, well done and the best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Rishi. Thank you very much.